Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra.
And we just want to thank you for listening in or watching Hannah's Heart today. Mm-hmm. We are, if you're new to this, mm-hmm. we're a show that focuses on mainly on infertility, miscarriage, mm-hmm. but also adoption yes. and child loss and so many other things. We've even now done special needs. Just when your life looks mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. Then
you're building your family in a different than what you pictured.
Right, right. And so sometimes that's grieving that. Mm-hmm. And then also there's times of celebration mm-hmm. in that. Most of the time there's celebration in that. And so that is what we want to be here for, to help you to grieve mm-hmm. and to celebrate when needed. And so glad to be here today.
Well, speaking of celebrations, we have something we're celebrating on Hannah's Heart today.
That's right.
Would you like to share it?
I am happy, Will and I are happy to announce that we are expecting a baby girl. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, expecting a baby girl in June of this year. So we are 26 weeks and I think 3 days today, and that is exactly how old John Michael was when he was born. And so it's a very emotional day and week because we're so celebratory, but also like holding on to the fear a little bit. And we have waited a while to share this news with a lot of people. I don't exactly know why. I think I was scared people would think, well, good, now we can forget about John Micah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is not at all the case.
Right, right. I still feel like I need to hold him close and like, no, I want to remember him because she in no way would ever replace him. And I wouldn't want to put that mm-hmm. on her because mm-hmm. that's a lot to replace, sure. you know.
And this wasn't a planned pregnancy. The Lord gave you this baby.
Yes, this was not a planned pregnancy, which is crazy thinking about struggling with infertility like we did to now have two very surprised pregnancies. John Micah was very much a surprise. And now this baby girl, and now we have not settled on a name, so that is why I'm not calling her a name.
We have
a few names where, actually, I'm pretty much settled on a name. Well, I'll be honest, I'm settled on a name, but...
Wait for hubby to get with the program over here.
We are waiting for Will. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we just excited mm-hmm. and we feel like we can say excited mm-hmm. now because honestly, it took mm-hmm. us a while to feel like mm-hmm. excited. We honestly found out about this pregnancy the day before John Micah's due date.
Oh, my word.
And so it was very emotional to, you know, the day that was October 29th. John Micah's due date was October 30th. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't tell family until Christmas Day. So we, mm-hmm. they didn't even know for a while. But yeah,
there's so many emotions that go into this. Many. And even when you've struggled with infertility, for anyone who's listening, we know sometimes it's hard to hear pregnancy right. announcements, but I feel like there's something different about it when it's somebody who's in your camp, when yeah. it's somebody else yeah. who struggled with infertility and you find out that they're expecting. And our listeners, if you've listened to Hannah's Heart for any amount of time, I think you love Anne. You'd be weird if you didn't.
You're
but
so sweet.
Our listeners that we've met and talked to just feel so connected to you, and I know several of them have prayed for you, yeah. and especially hearing you be open about John Micah's story and so vulnerable with us. Mm-hmm. First of all, thank you for inviting us into the journey of the pain. It's really fun to get to rejoice with you. And I am so stinking excited to meet the sweet baby girl.
You're the sweetest, Kendra. Gosh, this has grown us closer.
Yeah, it has.
I think John Micah grew mm-hmm. us closer. You got to be there. Mm-hmm. When John Micah,
well, it's highs
Mark
and
lows.
I mean, the Lord is with us through the mountaintop experiences and the valleys.
That's
and
right.
we talk a lot about the valleys on this show.
Yeah.
But then, like, he's also there through these intense highs. And it's just like his goodness is poured out in both of those moments.
That's right.
And I'm glad to get to share them with you.
Thank you.
Well, I don't have as much news to update today, but I'll give our, I'm not ready to share everything of where my husband and I on our journey, but we have been pursuing building our family and adding to our daughter, Eliana Joy. And as I've been doing that, the theme of today's show, I have been overwhelmed with thoughts of what we would name the next child, right?
It's just hard, like, not to consumes think about
my thought, especially when you're pursuing fertility treatments and you're thinking, if this works, then this would be the due date and the baby would be here. And then by Christmas, we'd have this. And so it's so easy to get far ahead. And nothing is wrong with thinking about names. If you do that, I am not accusing you. But for me, it would get me too far ahead and I needed to keep in the present.
Rein it in a little bit.
Yeah, kind of rein it in a little bit. And so I asked the Lord, I was like, what can I have during this season of my life to help me not obsess about baby names and what the future could hold? And he was like, well, since you're thinking about names, how about my names? So I got this book called To Know Him by Name by Rabbi Kurt Schneider. I don't know if I said that right, but Schneider. And it's going through all of the Hebrew names of God and explaining kind of how God's character and his nature is revealed through those names. So I have loved this book, and I was talking with Anne, and she was like, I've done studies on the names of God. Let's do it. So not that either one of us are experts.
No. And my study was a long time ago.
We're probably going to be mispronouncing things as we go, but there's so much hidden in God's name. And we talk a lot about on this show about lean into God's character and trusting that he's good and trusting who he is during the hard times. But we don't always have time in the show to then point to the verses where, like, okay, well, who is he?
Right.
Well, because we have times in scripture where you see this, like, vengeful, wrathful God destroying entire people groups. And then it's like, oh, but he's abounding in love. And you're like, who is this God?
Right.
And I know that seems like such a basic question of, like, who is God? But when you're hurting, you have to know who he is.
Right.
And you have to be able to have that. So anyways, the first word that we're going to, or name that we're, and this will be a little ongoing series throughout the upcoming years. We may come back to different words, but we want to talk about the word Yahweh. So this is God's personal name. Anytime in your Bible that you see capitalized L-O-R-D, that is this specific word. And it's the Hebrew letters Yud, He, Vav, He. It's an incredibly special name. It actually comes from the story in Exodus, in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses sees the burning bush. And I'm going to read it from my computer that just beeped for you here. So God is telling him to go, you know, set the people free. Right. This is what you're going to do. And he's like, well, who am I supposed to say sent me? Because at this point in time, God was known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? So he didn't have, like, a specific name that was regularly, like, used. And so God reveals to Moses, this is the name that you're going to tell them when you go back and tell the Israelites what I'm going to do. So I'm going to read it starting in Exodus 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So we're going to talk about that name, Yahweh, right? First of all, I just get goosebumps thinking of, like, there's this burning bush and Moses is, like, talking to a bush, which had to be a weird
situation. Well, didn't he say somewhere in there where he was like, take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground.
Yeah.
For some reason, that gets me. Take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground.
Yeah.
Just to be there in that
moment.
You can
feel the, like, goosebumps and the hairs on your arm just raising.
Yeah.
And even the word Yahweh, that's how we pronounce it, but it's kind of an unpronounceable word in scripture. It's just Yud, He, Vav, He. There's no vowels in that word.
Okay.
So it's, the scribes and the Jewish scholars, they thought that this is such a holy name of God that we don't want to mispronounce it or misspeak it. So a lot of times, like even today in Jewish synagogues, when they're reading and they come across the name of God, they will not say it. They replace it with the word, either the name, or they'll say the word Adonai. It's just like a general term meaning Lord, which it's become translated in our Bible as capital L-O-R-D, which is, I think, more of a title. I think that as like a king, a lord. That's not what this is. This is his like actual personal name, like Kendra.
Very
Ruth,
relationship. You
know? Relationship driven. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And like, that's what's so cool about God. From the very beginning, he's launching into, I am a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm not just a title. I am a person.
Yeah.
A personal God.
Like, how neat that I am sent to you.
Yeah.
Like that I am.
And it's almost so not that it's fill in the blank that God can be anything you want him to be. That's wrong theology. But God is anything that we need.
Correct.
He is our
anything
sustenance.
Holy.
Yes, that is. And like, I am your peace. I am your, and we're going to, a lot of the other words and titles of God are, it starts with Yahweh and then it adds to it. So it'll be like Yahweh Jireh, Yahweh Rapha.
You brought that up earlier.
Yes.
You told me something I didn't know about the name Jehovah.
Yes. So, okay. So some people get confused just kind of getting in the English translation. So Yahweh is how a lot of people pronounce it. The way it got transliterated through time and space and all things, some people pronounce it Jehovah, which there's no J's in the Hebrew language. It's actually an incorrect way to say it, but that's how I grew up hearing Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. So that's what a lot of Christians are more familiar with.
Okay.
If you want to say it, God knows what you mean. It's okay. But this book kind of clarifies.
But you're meaning
Yahweh.
When you say Jehovah, you're meaning Yahweh.
Yahweh. It's that Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh, four letters in the Hebrew Bible that are... In your Bible, it's going to show up capital L-O-R-D. In fact, I think it's over 7,000 times in the Old Testament
that
word is used, the Lord. And so let's just talk about the relational aspect of God here, because how do you find out about a person? So the first you hear their name, that's important, but like, how did you get to know your husband, Will?
And really, are you asking me?
Yeah. Like, how did you form, like, okay, like, hi, you met him in high school.
Well, you know, we were in high school, so we ate lunch together.
Okay.
And
okay, so you're talking.
Walked around the halls together.
Okay,
and
time.
Yeah, we got in trouble all the time. We call it the Christian hug, you know, like a
side hug.
Yeah, but they were like, I went to a Christian school, and they were like, don't touch each other. So we got in trouble all the time. And now I think teachers are like, we give up. They're going to give each other a side hug. I'm not telling people to do that. If you're told not to.
Obey your authority.
Right.
Obey your authority. But I just keep thinking about like just the way relationships are formed and how you spend so much time with that person.
Yeah.
And you start to like, just in talking with them, you find out, and this is one of the points that the books makes about how you find out about their likes and their dislikes,
right,
from spending time with them and from seeing the way they react to things.
Yeah.
So Ephesians 5:10 says, find out what pleases the Lord, right? So it's our job as believers to find out, like, oh, what do you like? Do you like the color purple? Like, it's not, that stuff sounds like the superficial stuff, but the really big stuff is like, what makes you angry?
Yeah.
What makes you laugh your head off? That's when you really know a person. And when you're in a relationship and you can almost finish their sentence, it's like your minds just meld and you're in this like beautiful relationship because you've spent so much time. My cousin and I spent a lot of time in high school and we could finish each other's sentences. We really could. We made sound effects. I started sounding like her and she sounded like me. And it just, you know, the two kind of become one.
Yeah.
And that's what's supposed to happen in our relationship with God as we learn about him. And one thing in scripture, we can look and see there are lists about what are the things that God loves and he hates. You know, there's in Proverbs 6:16-19, it talks about how he hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, spreading strife among others. And so as you're learning about these things, you are learning God hates this, so I should hate it.
Right.
If I love him. And those are really great things in scripture to kind of just highlight and know, what are these things that I've learned about God? So just a generic question for you, Anne. In your walk with the Lord through infertility, through child loss, is there anything that you've learned about the character and nature? It doesn't have to be that list. About who God is that right now you have learned in a new way? either his likes, dislikes, or
going through infertility, I believe I learned that way that the Lord is okay with. I think we've talked about this plenty of times on the show, but us being honest with Him about like where we're at, you know, with our relationship with You, we can be in still such a, in my opinion, still such a good place with the Lord, but also, I don't know if the word would be still feel distant. Mm-hmm. He has felt different to me since John Micah passed away. And I've had to try to figure out what that means, because as in like distant, he doesn't go anywhere. It's me, my heart that might not be in the right place or in a questioning place or like, okay, I thought You loved me and You're good. And all these other babies are dying because their moms are choosing to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have given my life to make sure He was okay, you know. Why didn't You save him, you know? And I was actually talking with our pastor who's been on the program before the other night. We were at play practice. Easter's coming up right now while we're recording this. And so we're getting ready for our Easter performance. And he was talking about losing his son, Judah. And he was like, oh, I had to go through a time of like, God, I gave him CPR. I prayed over him. I begged and pleaded with You to give him life again. And I fully knew You could. And You chose not to. And so it's a different, the Lord looks different when you see that He chose not to do that, even though I know in my heart and soul He could have, and He didn't. And so what does that mean for me as a Christian, but as a Christian who's lost a baby and, you know, held that lifeless body, but still beautiful body that the Lord created, what does that mean for me? Why did God let that happen? And so I don't know if I'm ever going to have a reason that's good enough here, but that's my goal now, is to strive to see, yeah, what is God now to me? What does He want me
that's
to
good,
see?
Sis.
What does He want me to tell people about Him now that I've seen, okay, He chose not to, but He's still good enough to me to serve Him every single day and to yearn to get to know Him more now. Because I want to understand Him more and why He wanted my life to look different than what I thought it should
That's
have.
That's so good. You wrote an article a couple weeks ago in the AFA Stand, which we can link in the description. But you talked about how you weren't feeling the presence of God in your life at times in this season, but then you would stop and realize that you needed His presence, and then His presence would come later, and there'd be just these times of feeling close and not feeling close. And I love that, because even though God is a personal God, like, it's not about our feelings of does He feel close to us.
Right. He is always there.
But you have to recognize, like, He is good when I don't feel He is good. He is close when I don't feel that He is near.
Right.
And that's when I think that goes back to that relationship that you have with Him, just like you know Will, and I know my husband, Eric. Like, there was something that happened a couple weeks ago, and like, y'all, I was being petty. I can be petty. So in our marriage, something came up, and I was just like, well, you just said that because you think that I'm blah, 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 blah. And he was like, what? No, I don't think that about you. And I was like just running with something, and he was like, that's literally not who I think, what I think about you. And I just had to realize that the enemy had just been sowing little seeds, and that wasn't who Eric was. Like, he is a person who is for me, and I had built up this person who was like against me in that moment, and I had to stop and compare what I know to be true about my husband and his character from just our relationship. And if I've known my husband only 6 or 7 years, I've known the Lord a whole lot longer. It's so helpful to go back to who has He been to me and throughout history in the past, and to lean into that. A couple other things about who Yahweh is, just in scripture, He is a jealous God. That's one of His characteristics. I love that one, because just like in a relationship, you know, like, my husband thinks it's funny whenever I get, like, jealous, and but he loves it. Like, he both, like, he thinks it's funny and he loves it. God is a jealous God. He wants our whole hearts committed to Him. Yahweh hurts and He weeps with us, and He grieves with us. So, like, because He's a personal God, He can, God can express emotion. Like, if He hates and He loves, then when, you know, I think about the story of Lazarus in scripture, when Lazarus had died and Jesus comes and He's comforting Mary and Martha, and He knows that He's about to raise him from the dead. Like, He already had in mind what He was going to do, but He stops and He weeps with them in that moment. Like, that blows my
mind.
He's
a person.
Why would He stop knowing, like,
He could have just, like, snapped his fingers.
You know, I'm going to heal him in a minute. But he chose to be with them in that moment and to grieve because he felt that empathy and that compassion. And I love that because infertility and in loss, like, to realize that God really does grieve with us. Like, I know that God rejoices with us, but he also grieves. So, like, when I, you know, had my miscarriage, when you lost John Micah, like, God was sad.
Right.
Like, it wasn't just like, oh, I let this thing happen to you. Like, you know, people always use the, it's for your good. You know, all things work together. Please don't use that scripture when someone's lost. Please don't. Just be quiet.
Because we do know that it's
scripture. Just don't say it. Like, we get it. But, like, God is not manipulative in heaven. He, you know, looking down, like his love for us is so intense. Another scripture about the name of God. I know I'm jumping all over the place, but it's just everywhere in scripture. In Exodus, another time with Moses. So this is where it's Exodus chapter 33, where Moses is like, God, would you show me your glory? And God's like, okay, hide over in this cleft of this rock. I'm going to pass in front of you. And then it specifically says, I'm going to reveal my name to you. Mm-hmm. Right? So then in Exodus 34 is when it happens. So Moses, let's see. Then the Lord came down in the clouds and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord. That's capital L-O-R-D. That is Yahweh. So he said, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Mm. There is so much in that passage, but when God reveals his name and he says, the Lord, and then he follows it by all of these, what the Lord is, God is defining his character for us. And most of them are amazing, happy, wonderful words that we want to embrace, right? And I don't know about you, Anne, but like, I feel like in the season of infertility, I tend to focus on the righteous, holy, sovereign side of God. And I think maybe just as protecting my heart, like I'm afraid to remember that God is compassionate and gracious and abounding in love and faithfulness because I feel like I don't want to be promised something and be disappointed.
Right.
And then God is continually like bringing me back to like,
but here I am.
I'm compassionate.
Right.
Like I'm right here with you.
Yeah.
All of those words are words that I have needed through my journey. Compassion, gracious.
I do think that is important to mention as I walk through still grief, because grief does look so different every day. But it is important for me to take the time to still recognize, like, God, even though I don't understand, you're still good.
Mm-hmm.
God, even though I don't understand, you're still faithful. God, even though I'm sad, you're still with me in my sadness, you know? And one thing, talking about, I know this is Jesus in flesh before he was crucified, but he knew he was going to take the sins of the world on his shoulder and be crucified for that. And he didn't even know what sinning felt like, but he chose to do it anyway. He didn't know, he had risen people from the dead, but he didn't know what death felt like, you know? And the fact that he still was willing to do that. And now me losing a son and knowing that the Lord, as in God, as in Yahweh, didn't give himself up because I could do that. That was my prayer before surgery. Like, God, take me. Don't take him. Take me. I see what a sacrifice that was for God to watch his precious one and only son to be nailed onto a cross for our sins. He didn't do anything wrong, but he took that for us. It just helps me to understand. I know I still don't understand fully what God understands, but like it has helped me to realize, like, God, you chose to do that for me. And you chose to do that for John Micah, for all of us, you know.
Well, I'm so glad you brought up Jesus because he is the fulfillment of this name of God, Yahweh.
That's right,
so when he says, I am, Jesus is the bread of life, the everything. And Jesus, so many times in the Gospel of John, starts off with saying, I am the resurrection and the life. I am all of these things. And in the moment right before his death, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the soldiers came to arrest him, and they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he answers them. Yeah. This passage always blows me away, and we're running out of time, but he says, I am he. He pulls on, when he says, I am he, he's pulling on this. I am who I am, Yahweh. And when he says it, all of those soldiers and the people just fall to the ground. Like literally the presence of who I am is knocks people off of their feet.
Yeah.
Because that is who our God is. And he's been there for you, and he's going to be there for this beautiful little baby girl in your belly. But we have a lot of new names to explore. This is the first one. We'll include you guys along the way on that journey.
Yeah, I think it's so good, because as we do walk through grief, infertility, miscarriage, whatever you're walking through, and sometimes we're walking through the happiest times, but to know and to be able to give him praise and to understand him more is so important. So that's why.
He's unchanging. That's even though our circumstances are all over the place, his name is not going to change.
That's right. That's right. So we appreciate you listening to Hannah's Heart today. Thank you for celebrating with Will and I. And let's continue to pray for Kendra and her hubby as they want to grow their family as well. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time on Hannah's Heart.